see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Hey, welcome to the Watching for Jesus program tonight on this Friday. You all ready for a Friday? It brings us into Saturday, and before you know it, you'll say, whoa, it's Monday. Here we go. It just keeps going, don't it? It doesn't stop. It just keeps going. It's going to come to a paradigm, a change, a move into the new reality. It's coming. Are people ready for it? It's going to be this generation. Everybody wants to know when. Everybody wants to know when something is impossible to say when. It's in God's time, God's control. He allows certain latitudes for Satan, fallen angels. I'm going to talk about the demonic realm tonight. Talk about faith. Talk about why prayer is not being answered. I've lost track. I've got it written down here. I think it's three or four, something. I've got so much stuff going. I've been doing this for so long now, it seems. But prayer, that is your main bread and butter. Just way past that. It is what gets you through the coming times. It's what gets you through day to day. People just don't get it. They wait to the last minute. I know I did. God will test you. It's not in our time, but His. And we can say, you know, I believe in God. Oh, I trust God. Oh, yeah, we all day long. Preachers do this all the time. But do they really? Well, if they did, they wouldn't belong to the Baptist Association. If they did, they wouldn't belong to the National Council of Churches. If they did, they would not allow their church to be members of the 501c3. If they did, they definitely would not support the Vatican. Well, I know the big issue, should we support Israel? God's in control of Israel. And Israel is going to be judged harshly, just like America will be. Because Israel turned away from God through Judaism, the Talmud, corrupted Bibles, the Star of David. That's not Jewish. Family, it's not Jewish. It is, in fact, the satanic Wiccan symbol. Requires blood sacrifice. Then that begs the question, then what's the symbol of Israel? Easy answer. The menorah, the candlesticks, that is the actual symbol of Israel. The symbol they have today is witchcraft, literally. And we're not doing much better in America. Our stars and stripes, God love them, right? Well, our founding fathers were deists. I hate to tell you this. Thomas Jefferson was not the man you think him to be. Neither certainly wasn't Ben Franklin at all. He murdered. He's a Satanist. He was. I'm sorry, but he was. You had godly men throughout our history, but they were subjugated through the Freemasonry. Knights of Malta took control. The Fabian Society. It's always been a facade. We've been placated since the day this country was born. But thank God we had individuals throughout the history that prayed, were true Christians, Spurgeon, many of them, all through our history. You had honest Freemasons that went against Freemasonry. John Robeson, Morgan, several others. This has been the real battle behind the scenes. Secret societies, up to their evil. The secret societies controlled by a Luciferian agenda, by a supernatural being we're going to talk about tonight. Had some folks come on my Facebook and they put all this stuff about Satan, just like we're talking about today at the broadcast. Satan as a representation of evil. See, that's where your philosophy nonsense comes into play. That's what they use philosophy for. They created philosophy to water down the reality of the supernatural world. That everything is hyperbole. But it's always only one part of the big picture. Is that nobody asks, well, how did we get here? Nobody just asks the questions that you can't ask anymore. But Satan's got us so tied up, and I'll even go a step further. I was looking today when I went to town. How about those jigsaw puzzles? How about that? And you're thinking, oh, Tom, come on now. Leave them alone. Well, now, wait a minute. Hold on. What are we really supposed to be doing? What are we here for in the first place? Did God create us that we could glorify ourselves and build our own world? And God will thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much for the world you give us. We're going to take care of it now. Thank you, though. You can come visit it whenever you want to. Or did he create us to love him, worship him every day? Now, if he leaves us, family, you got this one little word. It's just one word. Scientists go through all this rigmarole, you know, biology. There's just one word that will destroy the entire curriculum of evolution. One word. Entropy. That's it. And there's three little words that destroys the notion that we sent men out to the moon and can do it beyond. There's those three little words. Three words all. Destroys the whole thing. Three words. Van Allen Belt. That's it. If you look those two words up, you'll find those four words. You'll find that it destroys both notions in, what, 10 seconds? Van Allen belt. These things past the Van Allen belt will cook like your pet mouse in the microwave. So it begs a lot of questions, don't it? Entropy. Entropy takes care of the rest on the earth, because everything on this earth, everything, no matter what, living, inorganic, organic, tin buck two, whatever, dies, rusts, rots, melts, used up, or mutates. A mutate is missing something. And so a mutation that has a seedling or offspring or whatever means that it's missing something, you know, entropy. So how does entropy keep, no matter what it is, keeps recreating itself? That's a contrary terms. It's opposite. It destroys. It doesn't recreate. So there is a great deception going on. Since mankind does not have the dimensional capacity, then where's the deception coming from? And God doesn't lie. It's got to come from intelligent design. Or should I say intelligent destruction? Not intelligent design. You should call it intelligent destruction. Because that's exactly what's going on. And then what is that? It's a supernatural realm. This is Bible study. And even though, you know, we talk about the New World Order in the broadcast and connecting all the methods by which Satan, the Illuminati, the Freemasons, the, you know, all the secret societies, et cetera, globalists, whatever you want to call them, orchestrate their plan, it does intermingle with the Bible because it's going by the book. Literally. Matter of fact, guess what? They go by the book. They manipulate it, but they have to go by the book. They're not allowed to. Okay, for example, it says 10 heads of nation, 10 leaders, 7 heads and 10 horns. Well, we have that, the unions, 10 unions. 7 heads of the old Roman Empire. Well, why they got to do that? Why don't they just have 12? Why even go by the Bible in the first place? Why do they follow the Bible? Everybody ever thought the question? Beg the question that if they're in control, then why are they following the Bible? Why is it going by the book exactly? Why don't they just do their own thing? Yeah, because they can't. I mean, if you were in control, right? Evil was in control of this world, which is another problem. Because evil didn't create it, so somebody created it before evil did. Evil, Satan, or their human counterparts, whatever. They sure didn't create the world. How to get here? Satan couldn't have created it, the one Lucifer. Evil couldn't have created the world. Or you got some kind of stupid evil because it created a way by which it destroyed itself. Bible's true. Answers all the questions. Holy Spirit will lead you there. So what are we here for? To glorify God in the highest. To love each other, no matter what skin color or culture, whatever rank, whatever. All that doesn't make any difference. It's what's the heart is the matter. They cause division. So in other words, we won't to get together because of division and war. And then they provide us the means by which we can come together, but from a mountain elephant, painted up to look nice, it's not going to be nice when they have control. So the only one you can depend on is Jesus Christ. Supernaturally. The supernatural Jesus Christ, who's going to come on this earth and rule from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. But before that, nobody is going to escape judgment, either the good judgment seat of Christ, or to be brought to sentence of hell through the great white throne judgment at the end of the 1,000 years. It'll be 2 judgments, 2 graduations. I haven't said that before, but that's one way of looking at it. Everybody will be on one or the other. There's not a third choice. Family, that's the life that you've been brought into. It's for you to make the best out of it. And God's told you how. It's nothing that we come in and say, thank you, Lord, we're glad you gave this to us. We're going to take care of it from here on in. So, bye. Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye. It don't work that way. Nope. That's the owner's not going to leave his house. And you're his children. That's why you got to be born again, because we're born into the world because of the sin of Adam and Eve. The sin was passed down, making it original sin. Original sin made it where one man then was responsible for the death of all. Then by one man, the second Adam, that be Jesus, to bring back to life the death, to bring back to life those that died through sin, but they have to acknowledge that they're sinners. It's not automatic. Calvinists think it's automatic. It's not at all. We have to repent. If I repent, it's, I don't know if you call it New Age thinking. It is kind of a positive affirmation. Lord, I lusted today. Lord, I committed adultery. I'm sorry. And when you say that and you admit it to God, not to some priest, for goodness sakes, man, you don't tell him nothing. And rosary beads don't help you worth a lick. It's between you and God, and your church is inside your home on the side of the road or wherever you end up under an oak tree. It don't matter. Where you are and Holy Spirit's with you, there's your church where two or more are gathered. Is a church. Other than that, you're admitting your sins to the Most High, to Jesus Christ. He's your counselor. He's taking it to God. God don't hear you, but he hears Jesus Christ. Because we're all sinners. So who does it hear? He hears a non-sinner. A non-sinner, no such thing. Well, yeah, they are. His name's Jesus Christ, supernaturally, is your lawyer to God. When you've passed through the fire, when you've passed through judgment seat of Christ, then you're rewarded for what you did on earth. If you don't, there's only two, heaven or hell. It's not philosophy. It's real. Family, this is real. This is not a game. This is not some church service that we're just going to worship God here and say some prayers, and okay, y'all have a nice day now. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going on. This is way past the coming World War III or elections or something like that. All this is, it comes, it goes, it's done. Moving next. Where we're ahead, World War I, World War II, they're over. The veterans are dying out. We got new wars coming up. Then a new war. But finally, this is going to end. God's long-lasting patience is wearing thin. You know how you know that? You can actually understand why. When the countries, especially ours, on top of the list, starts making laws against God and against the Bible, then you know it's going to get ugly. As long as there's laws in the land that support the Bible, doesn't matter what the individual's trying to orchestrate the law, they're corrupt, they'll be judged. But the law itself that complies with the Bible does give the individuals the opportunity which to live right. So it's up to the individual by free will. But now you start changing the laws of the land, and then the people are going to follow it. Now you see how it works? Ho, God's going to come just like it did Jerusalem. Now in this regard, I'll have to agree to a small part with that one Jonathan Kahn. That's all. That what our actions are reflecting on what's going to happen as what unto Israel. Do you not recall that the Hebrew Israelites were God's chosen people? They sinned against him. What'd he do? He judged him. Oh, bad. Now we're changing our laws. And they know it, though. At the highest level of the Illuminati, and the humanists, they know that by changing the laws will cause God to pull away, giving them more latitude. This is the highest level thinking. So they go down below and they use demonic realm. There you go. To fulfill the lust of the humans, no matter what it is. So they'll never see the upper tier of this agenda. They'll just want the rights. So what they do is they take the rights away first. So they'll make people want their rights. Then they'll work at giving them their rights, but in a different direction and pathway. Suicide, homosexuality, murder, rape, do as thou wilt is the whole of the law, is their motto. That's why they're going to close down the prisons, they will, and stop the death penalty. So there'll be nothing to deter murder and rape and anything else. See, the New Agers aren't thinking about that. They don't know. They see their motto, do as thou wilt, except they don't see the full implication of it because they're blinded by their own lust. Lust, trust me, lust has a way of blinding us to the truth. Multiple marriages, hello, that's me, had to learn the hard way. Lust will blind you. Holy Spirit awakens you. Lord, tonight we come before you in prayer. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Lord, we dedicate this Bible study to you, Father, and your holy word. Father, you lead us tonight in a Bible study. Father, give us wisdom, discernment to share it today. Father, give us the strength to stand up against the evil. Father, give us the knowledge and wisdom to be able to deal with it, to be able to pray against it. Lord, the courage, the words to give to others, pass on to others, to be able to stand up against the wiles of the devil and dodge the fiery darts. Lord, we pray for our family members, those that come within contact of us, Lord, that you'll use these divine appointments to spread the truth of the gospel. Holy Spirit, to touch hearts, to soften them, Lord, for the conversion. Father, we pray for Tom tonight. Another Tom, Father, we pray for his healing. And Father, he's a man of God, and Father, we pray for his healing, that he'll come through this crisis in his life with you at his side. Lord, we pray for children being identified for the sacrifices coming up in March and April that we know they're going to hit hard. And Father, we also pray for those that's going to be victims of these coming tragedies yet to happen in March and April. That, Lord, you close those portals of the falling angels and the demonic realm that, Father, you cause derision among them. Because, Lord, we know the next few months and all that in this year is going to be a trying time. And Father, prepare your people for the witnessing the truth of the gospel. And Father, we do pray for returning veterans, that Father, you'll lead them in the right path with divine appointments toward the thoughts of suicide to be taken away. And Lord, divine appointments will lead them in the right path. And Father, put courage in those preaching the true gospel, to give them opportunity, and those not, Lord, you give them the wisdom to see the error of their ways. And Father, to exalt the truth about the King James Bible, that Father, they're now attacking it. And Lord, to bring the truth out about it. But Father, to give us the words of discernment when the times come we don't have it with us. That's why, Father, we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Family, the demonic realm, having faith, and prayers is what I want to talk about tonight. I know sometimes I get a little ambitious, but if I do, I just say, well, this is part one. We're going to part two tomorrow. Belief. What's faith anyway? Is belief in a set of truths. Trust in a person because of a personal relationship, or both are crucial. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You got to have faith. And it's by free will. Faith is very important. It's hard today to have faith because they have programs and events and things orchestrated that destroys faith. And it's by design. You know, everything going on today is by design. Almost everything. You know, the education, economics, war. It's all by design of different councils and committees that's been created to cause these things to happen. Using the Hegelian dialectic. I'm not going to go there tonight, but this is the most amazing thing. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Family, you might seek him for maybe 1, 2, 3, 4 years. And if you keep going and you keep going and you keep going, just not stopping for no reason. He's like, well, you're not going to do it for a month and expect him to reward you. You know, it's kind of something popped in my head. This is what I do. I don't have a script. I mean, I just go with it. You got in relationships. I hope this works out. You go in relationships. You've got what's called the foxhole conversion. Yeah, by George, I think it does work here. All right. I learned this when I was talking to people, and I reflected back on my own experiences. And I come up with a thesis, you might say, of relationships. That's another story. Maybe someday I'll talk about it. Anyway, I got a whole formula for relationships. No, I do. Anyway, I figured it out in 1988 and 89. I said, man, you're not doing so well. So I started looking at relationships. Anyway, foxhole conversion is what I come up with. And a foxhole conversion, it's when a man, usually it's a man, but women too, but a man, he's a drunkard, or he's an abuser, or uses drugs a lot, or something. You know, something's not working, right? And he's chronic about it. He's addicted to the drugs, the alcohol, the adultery, the whatever it is, something. And the wife, being the patient person that she is, of course, not like the one lately in China that, of course, the husband raped her, or the boyfriend did, and she waited to fell asleep. She drugged him, snug around. Can you imagine the piece of the presence of mind she had? She drugged him when he was eating and sleeping. He stayed there, apparently. And then he woke up in pain because she took scissors and whacked him right off, man, like Nimrod, you understand? And flushed it down the toilet. She was mad. And then, I guess from the screaming and pain that he had, they couldn't count the number of hammer strikes that she did on his head. It was uncountable. Well, anyway, people are getting really mad today. They're getting really angry. It is demonic, family. It is demonic. Pain and fear and worry are emotions. Emotions affect your soul. Your soul is energy. It all has to do with frequency vibration. Different demons have different frequency vibrations. It's like each demon, you have demons over here are lust. We got a company of demons that are lust, the lust company. Then you got the greed company. I kid you not. This is not hyperbole. I'm telling you how it works. And they're based on rank. They're based on frequency vibration, like you're trying to find a radio program, right? I want a country music program. So you go to 105 FM or something. Well, I don't like that. Okay, I'm going to go to, I listen to Mozart, Beethoven, so I'll move it to 108. Well, it's a frequency. The same thing for the demons. They have a different frequency that when they come into your body, because it's an okay. When I'm angry, I'm ticked off, man. I'm really, man, I want to kill. When you're emotional, it affects your blood pressure, doesn't it? Well, that's your frequency vibration. It's the energy in your body changing to another frequency of anger, lust, greed has different frequencies. This is quantum physics. Oh, but you can measure it too with a scientific study. You understand this? If you had a meter, you could say greed. You know, if you could do that, it would register it. So when it registers, that's the authority for that demon to come inside. A demon. I'm not a homosexual, but I'm an adulterer in my past. I'm a liar. I was a liar in my past. That has frequency, vibration. All right? So a homosexual demon, and they are demons. Jezebel, Ahab, whatever. Your demon, your, I got a study on that, but I'm not going to pull it out now. A perverse spirit of sorts will have its own frequency vibration. Oh, I know, the New Agers have really picked up on this. That's knowledge of good and evil. But I've done a lot of deep study on this and plead the blood of Jesus around me when I went into it. But so the homosexual demon with that perverse spirit of that frequency isn't going to get inside me because it's not going to match. You understand? You see how that works? This is how we're affected. I'm not going to go in detail on this, but they have learned through HARP and ELF transmission, electromagnetic energy that's adjustable, to be able to synthesize demonic activity. So not only do you have the demons that's supernatural existing, that's protecting you by the angels are keeping them away, because they got a higher frequency. You see? Overshadows them. Protects you. It's all about frequency because it's ELF. Well, the government, the scientists have figured out a way to make synthetic demonic influence by HZ. HZ is Hertz, energy. Family, this is not about philosophy. Trust me, this is not about philosophy. No, don't trust me. Do your own research. You see, so if I were to somehow another, I don't know, for whatever reason, turn out to be homosexual or something like that, then it would change, my frequency would change to that level. That's how we operate. And the flesh is the vehicle by which keeps that energy, your soul. And actually, 7.8 hertz is a human resonance of the earth. It's quantum physics. So when you have faith, it's a certain frequency. Have greed or lust, a certain frequency. Science. But what I was talking about was the foxhole conversion. There we go. So if I have an abusive husband or something like that, and the wife will say, for example, and it could be reversed as well, I've had enough of this. I'm leaving. Or whatever. Oh, honey, don't leave me, please. I won't do it again. I don't believe you this time. Well, I'm not. I'm going to go to AA. I'm going to go to whatever meeting or whatever counseling or something. And so I'm a good boy for a little while, maybe 3 months, maybe 2 months. Usually it's a 90 days period. Foxhole conversion means that you've stopped the activity, the negative activity, and usually it can only last about 90 days, give or take. And guess what? You start back again. Because 90 days, it's kind of like when you're getting shot at. You jump in a foxhole. When the shooting's over, everything's all copacetic. You come out of the foxhole. All right? So when the shooting's starting, like, I'm going to leave you, or I'm going to send you to jail, or whatever. I won't do it again. I won't do it anymore. That placates the other person from complaining against you. So you jump in your foxhole for protection. When you figure the shooting's over, then you kind of come out. But see, God wants you permanent. So he's, oh, that's the point I was going to go. Hey, is that it may take a couple years before he comes around for you. He's going to test you out fully till he knows that you've gotten rid of that sin by trial and error and trial and error and trial and less and less and less. Because you've repented. How many times can you repent before you're tired of repenting? But that's faithfulness. Faith in him. He's going to fall through as long as you stay on your side and continue to be faithful. And it's by faith is why you do it. See how strong that has to be and how important that faith really is? It's to stick to it no matter what. Faith is not a work that earns salvation. Rather, we're saved by God's grace operating through our faith. Faith is both a gift from God and a kind of an attitude we choose to adopt. The disciples didn't have it, did they? Until when? They saw him actually come back from the dead. Thomas was, stubborn. Oh, boy. Anyway, Thomas was stubborn. He didn't even believe him. He didn't believe none about it. He didn't believe nobody until he saw with his own two eyes the return of Jesus. And he had to see the holes in the hand, holes in the feet, and the slit in the side before he'd believe it. It's a decision enabled by God and chosen by us to hold on to the truth. And the relationship's based on evidence, actually. Even when feelings and their circumstances that we're into, they tempt us to give up, you see. It's not to closing the mind in reality, but opening it to the reality that we actually have been doing our best to deny. So, real faith in Jesus Christ will lead us to action. And these actions, then what do what? What will actions do? They'll conform us to his character and his commands so that faith won't affect the person's behavior. It's dead. Faith that doesn't affect his behavior is a dead. James 2. You'll find it, 2:26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith comes first, then comes works. Works is a result. Not works to show my faith. That's called bribery. That's called kidding somebody. Look what I'm doing. See what I'm doing? That's works first. Don't work. Faith then comes the works. Remember that. Write that down because I'll never remember that. That just comes falling out of my mouth. That's profound. So doubt may or may not equal unbelief. But a believer can ask all these questions in order to know more fully. I don't know about you, but I can tell you, I'm one of the worst. From the time I was a kid to the time I was in college, the time I was in the Marine Corps and got out, my middle name was Y. I always wanted to know every answer right down to the nitpicky. That was a real pain in the butt, too, I tell you. We got to know more fully. We may struggle with why God's doing or allowing something to happen. Somebody questions somebody that wants to trust, understand God and humility, and should be supported. Somebody with weak faith. Mother Teresa had weak faith. She admits it. So it's not just in the, you got to look at this. Those who turn away from God, ministers, rabbis, priests, that's weak faith. Billy Graham lately says you don't have to know the name of Jesus. Robert Schuller, weak faith. That's mind-boggling to me. But by their own words. Those in weak faith should be encouraged with love, though, and biblical truth to trust God. Is Westboro Baptist Church doing that? No, they're not. They're not supposed to. They're being connected to Christian identity, and Arnold Murray's and all these other folks, white supremacists, they're there to just show otherwise. That's their purpose. It's what they're created for. They have no faith. Matter of fact, they work with Satan. There's no question about that. But we got to have faith in God, though, to among the discouraging circumstances. But you know, sinful doubt comes from pride in one's intellect. That's why some of these professors, as a matter of fact, most of them are humanists, and you're not going to teach them because their pride is in their intellectual abilities. Have got them lost. Unwillingness to set or to accept the change in the life and in the heart that's accepting Christ's lordship would actually require. Unbelief is equivalent to blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It's unforgivable. That's the only unforgivable sin that there is unbelief. Unbelief is a matter of the will, not the mind. Honest doubt involves emotions, frequencies, intellect, morals, experience, and all that sort of thing. So you got to find the root of someone's doubt before you deal with it. You see. So, in faith, you have to deal with a very cunning devil who is not a representation of evil, but is an actual being. Now, in my broadcast, I talk about a lot of the issues that the headlines and feminism and all this stuff that goes along with this stuff, even the death education of classes, and we've talked about chemtrails and the electromagnetic energy and all this stuff going on. All these things are part of how Satan controls. Now, the devil's cunning. He uses mankind's councils, committees, and the globalists and the elite and so forth to do his bidding. With exchange of rewards, money, prosperity, and so forth, and notoriety and popularity and everything else that goes along with it. That's only temporary, by the way. He's very cunning. If he cannot get you off the right path, he'll cause you to deviate from it just a little bit. And then soon you're lost and going to hell if you're not careful. And you know, one of the most damning approaches of the devil is his followers is having a false pride or false self-righteousness. Like those that say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied for you. We healed. We cast out devils. He'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. Those are the Christians that are being placated in these churches. or they're trying to add the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ by doing good works to earn a place in heaven. I tend to think that that's possibly because you have someone giving, you know, $5,000 to a waitress or something, which is great. You know, that's nice. But why are they really doing that? Are they doing it just because they're great and good people? Or are they doing it because they feel with all this treasures and riches they have that maybe they do some good deeds, they'll buy their way into heaven? Or like the older man that, about a few months ago, was a millionaire. He lived in austere conditions, saving money. And then right before he dies, he turns 80-some million dollars over to a college and to other means. The insides of me sort of said that the possibility existed that he thought all his whole life that he'd just buy his way into heaven by doing good deeds and giving money out to the poor and all this, about when he thought he was going to die. Can't buy your way into heaven. You got to enter heaven by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Jews and Judaizers, Messianic Jews, the Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Catholics, Evangelicals, Protestants that are falling off the wagon, has fell into the demonic pits of hell because of being misled by your TFBN, your Word Faith movement, and all this other thing, are leading people out to pasture. Believe freely in the Lord Jesus Christ and be filled freely with His Holy Spirit. Good deeds don't cleanse your soul. And you have a lot of well-meaning people that go to church, and we consider themselves good enough to get into heaven through their own good works and rituals, meetings and communion and all that stuff. These are the very same people who are going to miss that bus. We have a choice, as I said earlier today, of walking on the road, either one left or right or middle. In this case, there's only one place. It's on one side. Because the other side, you walk on the side of the road, it's you're going to hell. You walk in the middle, that's a given. One side of the highway, not on both, not in the middle. You get God's mercy through the sacrifice of His Son at the cross. This is the way to heaven, by accepting Jesus as your only Lord and Savior, and then having an ongoing personal relationship directly with Him. Well, you get that tingly feeling. You get that Holy Spirit saying this is the right thing to do. You have you don't have a weight on this decision. Or you see circumstances that move into that path that you say, well, this is the right thing to do. I'm going to do it. To call divine appointments. And inside you are told supernaturally. There's no voices. God don't speak to us in voices. So Nanda Manuel would. And I'll hopefully get to that here this afternoon, this evening. That demons talk. Holy Spirit don't. Holy Spirit gives you that spiritual feeling. Test the spirits. As good deeds won't cleanse your soul, neither will good works, rituals, meetings, communion. You're going to miss the bus. So do you have a choice to accept, reject? We do. And God's mercy, we can accept through the sacrifice of His sons at the cross. His Son at the cross. And the way to heaven is by accepting Jesus as your only Lord and Savior. Having an ongoing personal relationship with Him is what we do. Taking our cross and following in His will and the footsteps that we have. Acts 15:9, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Acts 26:18. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, inheritance among them, which are sanctified by faith that is in me, he says. Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, the just shall live by faith. In Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all upon them that believe, for there is no difference. Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Romans 3:30. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith, and uncircumcision through faith. And all through Romans, it talks about faith. I collected a whole bunch of scripture based on that. So, why does God require faith? Why doesn't he prove himself to us that there's no need for faith? See, our relationship with God is very similar to our relationship with other people. And that all relationships require faith. Hard to have these days, isn't it? We never fully know another person. We cannot experience all the experience or nor enter the minds to know what their thoughts and emotions really are. Proverbs 14:10. The heart knows its own bitterness and strange and is a stranger, does not share its joy. We are incapable of even knowing our hearts fully, because that requires a supernatural knowledge. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says the human heart is wicked and deceptive. I'm not making this up. Look up Jeremiah 17:9. Human heart is wicked and deceptive. Who can know it? So in other words, the human heart is such that it seeks to hide the depths of its wickedness. Now you know why God separated mankind to Tower of Babel and not to come together again, to not be able to plot against him. Satan wants to do the opposite. So how does the heart hide its wickedness? Through shifting blame. And what did Adam and Eve do? Adam said she did. What did Eve do? Eve said he did, the snake. It just passed down the line to minimize our sin. You know, we're also incapable of fully knowing other people. That's why we can't judge their moral character. But we can rebuke and correct when they speak out of against the Bible or wrong scripture or use wrong Bibles. That's pretty easy. But because we are incapable of fully knowing other people, faith is kind of a trust in an ingredient in all relationships. For example, a wife will get into a car with a husband, driving, trusting him to drive safely. And he drives faster than she would on winter roads. She trusts him to act in the best interest all the time. Is that not what we do with our generals, that most all of them are traitors? I'm sorry, but they are. Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, they're taking a blood oath, and yet people trust them. Misplaced faith, because people don't know the true history of these organizations. But they still have faith in them because of what they represent. You know, we all share information about ourselves with others, and trusting they won't betray us with that knowledge. I guess you could say priests are the epitome of this. We drive down the road. We trust that they're driving around us to follow the rules of the road. whether with strangers or with intimate friends or companions. But we cannot fully know others. And trust is always a necessary component of our relationship, is trust. You lose that, it's over. So, if we cannot know our fellow finite human beings fully, how do you expect us to know an infinite God? That's through the Bible. And you know, but even if he should desire to reveal fully himself, it is impossible for us to fully know him. Like trying to pour the ocean into a pint cup. Seems like it seems to be a common phrase nowadays as a hyperbole. It's to have that trust and faith in Jesus Christ is what the key is. You know, there's been times in the past that God's revealed himself more visibly to people. One place would be the Exodus from Egypt, Moses leading the way. God revealed his care for the Israelites by sending miraculous plagues upon the Egyptians until they're willing to release the Israelites from slavery. That should have got their attention right there. God opened the Red Sea, enabled approximately 2 million Israelites to cross on over on dry land. Then as the Egyptian army went to pursue them, through the same opening, he crashed the waters upon them. Man, he's not getting around. And then later on, what happened? God fed them miraculously with the manna, with birds for meat. He guided them in the day by a pillar of cloud. That was a compass on steroids. And the night by a pillar of fire. Yet in spite of all these, what happened? Israelites refused to trust him. And that's when he wanted them to enter the promised land. They choose instead to trust the word of 10 men who frightened them with their own stories. Does that sound familiar? And the stories of the walled cities of the giant structure and stature of people only of the land. Family, that was Nephilim. Numbers 13, verse 26 to 33. Nephilim were running wild back then, even after the flood when they came back again. These events show that God's further revelation of himself to us would have no greater effect on our ability to trust him. You see? So were God to interact in a similar fashion with people living today, we would respond differently than Israelites because our sinful hearts are the same as theirs. We'd be no different. However, what's yet to come, and this is why the preterists are wrong and the Calvinists are wrong, we're not in the end times right now. We're approaching them, yes, real soon it looks like. But we entered the end times. What does that mean, end times? That means the first seal of the 7-year tribulation. Until then, it's just flirting with that 7-year period. But this is the time when it begins. After it, Armageddon. After it, the 1,000-year millennium reign. Revelation 20, verse 1 to 10. It's 1,000 years from Jerusalem. So more people are going to be born on the earth during the reign of Christ. More people will be born. They'll never, during that period of time, until at the end of the 1,000 years, will ever be influenced by Satan. They'll have their own free will to deal with. But Satan won't be there to push them, to exacerbate it. Don't ask me to spell that word. I can't do it. It's got some kind of silent E or something. I don't know. But you know, when Jesus reigns, he'll have a one world order. But it's going to be different than Satan's one world order. He'll rule with complete justice and righteousness. But in spite of this, Then comes the end of the 1,000 years. Satan will have no trouble raising an army to rebel against Christ's rule at the 1,000 years of Gog and Magog. That's the real Gog and Magog. Armageddon is the middle of the 7 years. I'm sorry, Armageddon is at the end of the 7 years. And the second seal is World War III. But that future event of the millennium reign and the past event of the Exodus really tells us that the problem is not with God insufficiently revealing himself to man. It is the problem is that with man's sinful heart rebels against God with loving reign. So we sin, sinfully we crave self-rule. And you know, showing us through the workings of nature and through the life of Jesus that he's all-powerful, he is all-knowing, all-wise, all-loving, all-holy, unchanging and eternal. And those that think they're going to beat that, more power to you, because you're not going to get it. We sinfully crave self-rule. It's not going to happen. So, over the period of time, that after the resurrection and ascension into heaven, from that point on, God revealed enough of his nature for us through his scriptures, Holy Spirit influence, to be able to trust him. He's shown through the events of history, as I've demonstrated to you all, how many times this new world order has been thwarted. Just in the United States alone. It's been thwarted since when? Nimrod, Alexander, Hitler, about 3 or 4 others. God's in control. When are they going to learn this? He's shown that he's worthy to be trusted. But as the Israelites in the wilderness, the choice is ours whether or not we want to trust him. What are we inclined to do? We're inclined to make the choice based on what we think we know about God rather than what he's revealed about himself to us. And you know, it can be understood about him through his careful study and of his inerrant word, the Bible, the King James Bible. That's where the answers are, because it's going by the book. To tell us that Jesus Christ came to earth to save us from our sins, and we might have sweet companionship with God, both now and a fuller way in heaven one day, when that time comes. It's not yet, but we are close. So, begs the question, what are some ways you know you're saved? How do you know? But you don't want to give the answer. I sure hope so. One is submissive respect. You have it without putting it on. Like a cloak or a mink stole. You have it with you. Do you really respect God by being honest with yourself, submissive respect. Or two, being obedient to Scripture. 1 John 2, verse 5. Whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected hereby. Know we that we are in him. So do you read the Bible daily, at least? Study it? Do you read the scriptures, seeking to obey what you find? Or you just kind of gloss over it? So submissive respect, scriptural obedience, or three, societal rejection. Love not the world, neither the things are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Your money, your possessions, trophies, they mean more to you than Jesus does. Four, be steadfast faithfulness. There you go. They went out from us, and they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. How long are you going to last? How long do you think you can last? You got to last to the end. Y'all ever heard of, I've listened to him on occasion, certainly David Wilkerson, that's a given. One named Vance Havner. You ever heard of him, Vance Havner? He has an interesting little saying. It's not mine, it's his. He says, whether the weather be good or whether the weather be hot, whether the weather be cold or whether the weather be not, whatever the weather, he weathered the weather, whether he liked it or not. How long are you going to last? You going to last to the end? You're just going to give up. Steadfast faithfulness. Five, second coming anticipation. Are you living daily in awareness that Jesus Christ is going to return? Or are you going along with, well, there's no really second coming, and blah, 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 and all it goes on and on. They try to convince you emphatically that Jesus doesn't exist, he's not coming back, and whatever they can attack you from. Number six is sin sensitivity. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remains in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. 1 John 3, verse 9. So when you sin, does it bother you at all? If it does, that's a good thing. That's the Spirit convicting you. It'd be better if you didn't. It'd be better if I didn't. But when you do, when you feel bad about it, that's a good thing. Norman Vincent Peale is wrong. Oh, by the way, Norman Vincent Peale was Illuminati. Did y'all know that? Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was, that's for sure. Do you wish you've sinned less than you do? Are you sinning less now than when you first made a profession of faith to Jesus? Do you enjoy your sin? Man, if you do all these, you better start worrying. Bad. Some people recognize this, some won't, but when you go to a jester meeting and you have little orgies and things going on there, you got to ask yourself, am I going to church the following Sunday? Whatever else y'all do there. Masonry, what we're talking about here. Are you sensitive to sin? Number seven, sibling love. We know that we pass from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That's hard to do these days in families, isn't it? A lot of cases are killing family members. You know, goodness gracious. Do you love, though, other believers in Jesus Christ? It's outside the family, but family of God, we're talking here now. Do you enjoy being in their company, or would you rather not be with people, or rather be with people of the world, or Christians, your dearest friends? Because when you become born again, your friends do change. Number 8. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we kept his commandments. And those, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John 3, verse 22. So do you pray? That's a powerful way of getting through it. Can you point to specific answers that would actually have come from no one but God? You mark it off as a coincidence? Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we say, well, I can't believe that happened. I do that sometimes. I keep forgetting, you know. You think, well, God has something to do with this. How about sharp discernment? Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out of the world. So do you find it easy to sort out the claims of various religions? You see all religions as the same, they all come together? No. You got different doctrine. That would make God a liar, wouldn't it? And last but not least, 10, being spirit awareness. John 4:13. Hereby know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us his spirit. So you're aware of that Holy Spirit within you. That Holy Spirit convicts you when you sin or to sin with abandonment. If you don't have a conviction, something's wrong. So tonight, one another reason why, I'll give you a couple more reasons why prayers aren't answered, but there's three reasons for faith. Why should we ever waver? Why do we? It's the work of Satan to make us doubt. There's a lot of reasons for believing God, for taking him in his word and trusting him to do the right, what he says. This is a big part of getting your prayers answered. You know, there's three reasons for faith. First, there's God's potential power. There's nothing he cannot do, nothing whatsoever. You cannot ask anything that staggers him. Your biggest mountains of troubles are like molehills to God. If you look at God's past performance, if you would, that should challenge you to faith. So, and again, over and over, you read that he changes not and that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Except we try to change him and bring him up to date. It's not going to work too well. Whatever he did in the past, he can do again today. And what did he do in the past? And what he did was he's given mighty answers to prayer. Elijah prayed and the heavens were closed. He prayed again, the rains came. So prayer brought healing to Hezekiah. And an answer to God's prayer, or God's prayer to God, opened the doors of the jail and released Peter. Well, what's saying that as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times? If you got the faith, he'll do the same thing here, but you got to have the faith. So, God's actual promises, they should establish and encourage our own faith. God will keep every promise. He cannot lie. Therefore, he's got to keep his promise. He promises to answer a prayer of those who abide in him and walk in faith. It's very important to know. And he's got to answer. Therefore, we should pray in faith. Well, there's a story about a Negro preacher. He preached quite a unique sermon at the Baptist Convention. A white preacher, he is there, and he heard the message, and he had mentioned about it. He said that the Negro preacher's subject was, "Do it again, Lord, do it again." So the colored preacher emphasized the fact that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that God changes not. And then he reasoned, if God changed not and was the same yesterday, today, and forever, then what God had done once, he can do again and would do again. So then the old preacher went through the Bible and pointed out that the great blessings that God had given him to his people, the great answers that he had given to their prayers, he'd tell them how God has led the children of Israel through the Red Sea. He'd also tell them that the experiences that we've had through which we need deliverance from, that's when we're possessed, need deliverance. He'd shout, "Do it again, Lord, do it again." So what he did was he told how God led Israel in the wilderness and how we need God's leadership today. And shouted, "Do it again, Lord, do it again," as in the days of Noah. So going back in the past, he showed pretty much to them, God answered Elijah's prayers. He shouted, how we need our prayers answered today. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. So what he did was he pointed out the miracles that God had performed, even to raising the dead. Shouted what God has done since he's able to do it again. Thank God for everything. Take nothing for granted. You know, sometimes our prayers aren't answered because we have misplaced faith. Finally, we got around to it. So one must be saved. Number one, one must be saved to have power in prayer. Number two, one must walk in fellowship to have power in prayer with God. Faith is required. Number three, unshakable faith is another condition that must be met for our prayers to be answered. And that faith has a long list of criteria. And number four, sometimes your prayers are not answered because we have misplaced faith. Seems to be all boiled down to faith, doesn't it? Peter walked on the water till he lost his faith and he started what? Sinking. Number five is our motive for praying must be right or God won't answer it. You think that's basic, don't you? Do some people think that's basic? Well, it's not. I know some preachers. Man, Benny Hinn, he prayed that if he had a Holy Spirit, something or other, he'd kill this guy for talking against his church or something. He said he tried to find somewhere in the Bible is legal to murder somebody or kill somebody. He's joking about it. I don't see it as any joke at all. I don't see why the people didn't get up and just leave the congregation right then and right there. I don't see the problem. But they don't. Because they're kept there. They're pulled in. They sold out to themselves even. It's quite amazing. I wanted to maybe play it for you, but I don't have it with me handy right now, about what he talks about. Unbelievable. Oh.
People of God, quit attacking man of God by name. Somebody's attacking me because of something I'm teaching. Let me tell you something, brother. You watch it. You're God in heaven. I wish I can just... They call out the minister in my foot. You know, I've looked for one verse in the Bible. I just can't seem to find it. One verse that said, if you don't like him, kill him. I really wish I could find it. But don't mention people's names on your radio program and your TV program, thinking you're doing God's service. You're not. You stink, frankly. That's the way I think about it. Sometimes I wish...
I disagree. I think it should be named to help others wake up. Our motive for praying must be right or God won't answer it. So when he prays and millions are there praying, you think those prayers are going to be answered now? Wrap your mind around the implications of what I've talked about. You've got millions of people there praying their hearts out. Well, there goes my toes starting to curl again. You got people believing in these people, these false preachers and ministers and whatever else. You've got a Catholic priest down in Mexico, South America somewhere there. It's got a very large congregation. He comes out dressed in a white robe with Spider-Man on it, Superman, to bring the kids in. And they do the christening with the water thing, you know, the but you know what to do it with. To expedite it, I see it. I mean, I got the video of it. I can watch you and watch him. He brings out a Toys R Us water blaster, bright neon orange and green. And he has, of course, holy water in it. And he water blasts the crowd like he is some kind of fireman with a water blaster. And that's supposed to be in a serious... It's not Saturday Night Live either. This is real. So everybody gets splattered with that water, thinks they're saved. Do y'all get the indication here? Y'all hear the impact of what I'm talking about? How serious this really is? So they leave that mass, getting splattered with water from a water blaster, 30, 40 feet away, think they're saved. They're good to go. Yeah, I mean, that's massive. So, I must mention, what do you do when you have extra money? Do you wish it to glorify God or to bless others? Glorify myself or to bless others with it? But if you want yourself, you have to say, no, Lord, I want to spend on my pride. I want a bigger house and a better car. God might well reply, the one you have is good enough. And better than you deserve, judging the way you serve me. Ouch. Well, family, I got several other reasons. We'll cover those later. My prayers aren't answered. I think it's a very important subject. My prayers aren't answered. Because everybody gets frustrated because they're not being answered. Some of the reasons that David Wilkerson talks about. His prayers are aborted when they're not according to God's will. prayers can be aborted when they're designed to fulfill our inner lust and dreams and illusions. Prayers can be denied when we show no diligence to assist God in the answer. God, do it yourself. I just sit here and watch. No. We got to be a participant. Prayers can be aborted by a secret grudge lodged in the heart of against another. Five, prayers can be aborted by not expecting much to come of them. You pray, but don't expect much to happen. Last but not least, prayers are aborted when we ourselves attempt to prescribe how God should answer. God created us, and we just return the favor. We recreate Him, what it amounts to being. Wow, we're coming to the end of the program. What happened? Well, family, demonization, unfortunately, is part of what's going on. The supernatural, interfering with the natural. That'd be you and us. You and I. The Bible gives us examples of people that's possessed or influenced by demons. Demon influence is all kinds of different ways, and this is what's going on. So there's something to the comment, "Oh, the devil made me do it." Chuckle, chuckle. Well, actually, it's true. We're still held accountable, but the devil has a lot of influence. You say, well, how can he do everybody? Well, he doesn't. He has demons assigned, and they live in a cloud of awareness. That's how they connect. It's physics. We're taught to look at it in philosophical terms. A demon possession causes physical ailments, such as inability to speak, epilepsy, blindness. Does it cause all of them? No, but quite a few. Some cases it causes an individual to do evil. Judas is a prime example here. And the spirit apparently gives a slave girl some ability to know things beyond her own learning. And the demon possessed man of the Gadarenes, he is possessed by a multitude of demons, a legion of them, actually. He had superhuman strength and lived naked among the tombstones. So King Saul, after rebelling against the word, is troublesome by evil spirit, with the apparent effect of being depressed, increased desire to kill David. This goes on and on. Deliverance and spreading the gospel. Other ways, it's not going to work. You just living a lie. You can't have a Wicca come in to bless your house. But they do that. It's to placate. Well, family, this, I don't know, it's been an hour and a half. And it's been a fast one. For me, anyway. It's like already over with. So just to let y'all know that we are also played up in highportradio.net. Highportradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. Highportradio@yahoo.com. Highportradio@yahoo.com and highportradio.net. And it plays up in Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey. And he's adding to it an antenna every month. I don't know when he's going to stop, but he's still doing it, as far as I know. And also, KBLU Radio in Colorado, Blue Raven Network, plays this as well. And don't y'all forget, Monday night, 8 to 10 p.m., Monday night only, I'm on RevelationRadioNetwork.org. .com, I keep saying .org. RevelationRadioNetwork.com, and visit also my website. I'll be putting up two studies there. I'm just about done with HPV study of fix it where I can adapt it to the net for the website. And also a study on death education. The suicide conspiracy I've got up there. And a little book there that you can just, it's just there. Read it if you want to. And I have archives there for Bible study and broadcasting. I don't do silver. I don't do gold. I don't do donate button. I don't do any of that. Probably shouldn't have in the first place, but I had to because back in TBN and wherever I was, and again, it required some funds or whatever, and but I never could get into the. They always kept saying, "Tom, won't you sell silver and all that, and you get a percentage." I said, "Man, I can't." I just kind of nod a little bit at them and whatever, but I could never get around to it. I didn't feel right. I never did it. Just didn't feel right about it. So I just avoided it. I'm comfortable now. God takes care of our needs in one way or another. Fam, it's all about getting the truth out. That's all I care about doing. I don't care about nothing else. It's just the way it is. Lord, we thank you tonight for being able to come together on this Friday night. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we ask you to protect us through the blood of Jesus around us, Lord, and get those demons away. Lord, to give us the words to speak for those that are looking for truth, that, Lord, you'll lead us in the right path and lead us to divine appointments. That, Lord, you'll help us to sanctify our families. And, Father, give us direction to help those in need of friends and family. Divine appointments for strangers. And, Lord, give us that wisdom, discernment to see through the end times and through the deception that's being put out today. Father, we pray that we'll have many more broadcasts and Bible studies in the future until that day comes when everything goes the way the tribulations are going to show. But God, Father, we know you'll be there to guide us through it. We thank you for all this, Lord. We pray. Amen. Family, I'm not a theologian. I'm just an old former Marine. I do the best I can at it. Because I feel the responsibility to be able to do it because I have some unusual knowledge about what's going on. Do you all realize out there that by you knowing the Bible, you knowing what's going to happen, that you have more knowledge out there than four-star generals in the cosmic top secret level? Do you understand that? That they're blinded by their positions. They're blinded by their importance and all that. And they don't realize the Bible is telling them what's going to happen. So all the secret subjects they got, fallen angels and aliens or whatever, doesn't mean a lick a bit. Doesn't mean a thing. When God said that's enough, man, all bets are off. And your special projects, it's going down to garbage disposal. Right now, God's allowing Satan to placate him. But Satan, fallen angels, Sanat Kumara, aliens, ascended masters are going to turn on him. Y'all have a good night now here because you're on the winning team in Jesus Christ. But you got to be patient. You got to have faith to weather the storm. Y'all have a good night. And this is a Watchman for Jesus signing off. Good night. We're shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappear in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. Thank you. Good night. God bless. And the station will continue with the 24-hour loop once I'm complete. Signed off. Good night.